Thank you, young folks and senior adults and regular adults, all the folks that sing. We appreciate it. About 3 weeks ago, the Lord started working with me on a message. And it's taken some zigzags and different scriptures and illustrations, and some of them fell out and some of them were added to. And so here I am with the version that he's given me. Some things I want us to think about. How committed are you to Jesus? How committed are you to the things of the Lord? How faithful are you? What would it take to make you a Christian dropout? You know, one of the pleasures of being as old as I am is seeing faithful folks over the years. Now, I wish we could do the Star Trek thing, you know, and have Scotty beam us all down to Brush Creek this morning. And I'd say, there's Ron and Nancy, Don and Ann, and another Ann, and Judy, and Donna, and Wesley, and Brenda. And you know, those folks were faithful when I was there 50 years ago. They were faithful 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Unless something weird's happened, they're sitting there, or they're there in the service this morning. Now, they're ordinary folks just like us. At least three of them have been through, or four maybe, been through divorce because their spouse left with somebody else. Several of them experienced deaths in their family, cancer in their kids, all kinds of things. They've had good pastors like Patrick Fuller. They've had some so-so pastors. They've had one that as soon as he left, after a few months, they checked him into a mental hospital. They had another that was a womanizer. When he left, he took the wife of the chairman of deacons with him. But these people are faithful. Always have been. Now, Judy is the Brenda of that church. She's not quite as old as Brenda. But she's been playing the organ since her daddy had to drive her because she's too young to have a driver's license. They had to pick her up and sit her on the organ bench. Her feet wouldn't even reach the pedals. But I bet she hadn't missed 20 Sundays in 50 years. Now, that's why you build a church. Folks that are faithful. And I'm looking in the faces of folks that are just like them. You were here 50 years ago or 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And you're here now. You've had good pastors, maybe some not so good. There's been deaths, births, divorces. But you're faithful. And that makes all the difference in the world. And yet you know that as you look at the church roll at Barbie's Grove or most any church, there's a lot of dropouts. That's one of the sadnesses. The joy is to see the folks that remain faithful. The sadness is the dropouts. I can call and I say, what happened to Steve? What happened to Jimmy? Well, they just quit. Do they go anywhere else? No, they don't go anywhere else. They just quit. And it's not just a Barbie's Grove phenomenon. It's in churches all over America. Where hundreds and thousands of folks just simply drop out. Now why? The Bible gives us some answers. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. There's at least four answers I want us to look at right quickly. Four answers. These are why people drop out. Now, why we bring this up? Because every one of us is a potential candidate. Every one of us is a potential candidate, including preachers. Including preachers. We're all potential candidates. We say, hey, that'll never happen to me. Well, you know, Peter, several times he said, these other turkey disciples, they'll mess up, but not me. And who's the first one that messed up? Peter. We have to be careful. You know, the Bible says, wherefore, be careful. You think you stand, lest you fall. We're all potential dropouts. So what are some of the reasons? 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In other words, you know, some folks drop out because they were never saved in the first place. Now, last week, you remember I preached about picking green fruit? Enticing people to walk down the aisle and get baptized who really weren't saved, who had no conviction of the Holy Spirit, who had no leading of the Holy Spirit, and they just walked down the aisle and got saved, or said they got saved and were baptized. But it wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. You have to have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, where you recognize how sinful we are and how much we need a Savior and that Jesus is the Savior. And as we recognize that and the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon our heart, then we can receive Him as our Lord and Savior. I think back to when I was growing up, we had some rip-snorting good revivals at West Albemarle. Some of them lasted 2 weeks. I remember one of them, when they had a preacher, but they also had a guy that played a trumpet. Man, you could have heard him from here to Oakboro when he got in on that trumpet. Man, we had some great. But you know, something happened at a lot of those revivals. One of the pretty little girls in church would bring her boyfriend. And he was so proud to come in there and sit with that girl. About 3 or 4 days into the revival, he'd want to make a special impression on her, so he'd walk the aisle. They'd say, okay, and if the boyfriend, girlfriend lasted till the baptism, then he'd get baptized, and then, you know, they were only 16 years old, so they break up, and you never see him again. And you say, well, whatever happened to Billy or Joe or whatever? Well, you know, he doesn't go to church anywhere. See, all he was trying to do was impress his girlfriend. And he walked the aisle without being saved, without having an personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless they've cleaned up their role, I guess there's some of those folks who are still on the roll at West Albemarle today. Now, I know they cleaned up the roll at one point. Now, whether they cleaned it that much, I don't know. But I can just think of numbers of young men that walked the aisle during those revivals that were never saved. They just wanted to impress their girlfriend. John says that these folks left because they really were never a part of the body of Christ. They never had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know, that's sad. That's sad. Because the Lord is ever ready and willing and able to save us. When the Spirit convicts and we say yes. Another reason that some folks drop out, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Flip back a few pages in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 10 says this. Paul writing to Timothy says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, earlier in one of his letters, Paul talks about how Demas was a servant and how Demas was involved in the ministry. But at this point, he says, Demas has left because he fell in love with the world. Another reason the folks drop out is that they fall in love with the world. Now, when I read that just off the top of my head, I think, okay, wine, women, and song. But you can fall in love with the world in a lot of ways. In ways that aren't even technically sinful. You know, I used to play a form of golf. But I've seen some folks that all of a sudden they fall in love with golf. And suddenly 10 o'clock Sunday morning is tea time. And they fall in love with the world. And they drop out. I talked with a fella not long ago. And he talked about how much he loved the Lord. But he's involved in sporting activities from February to Thanksgiving. He's not in the Lord's house. He's a dropout. We can fall in love with the world. We can go to working two or three jobs. Now, you know, if somebody's a single mom and they have to work to put peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on the table for their kids, that's one thing. But so that we can have a nicer house or a bigger boat or a four cars in the garage or whatever, you know, we can fall in love with the world like Demas did, and we can become a spiritual dropout. There's another one. Flip back a few more pages to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I think you all will understand this one when I start reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Any people knock on your door with strange doctrines? Hey, we all experience that. An astounding number of Southern Baptists become Mormons every week. There are all kinds of little groups on street corners, airports, college campuses, with this kind of weird belief and that kind of weird belief trying to suck us in. Get us to believe something that's a lie. Get us to follow some cult. Get us to be in some situation whereby we begin to believe a lie, live a lie, and no longer follow Jesus. And some are so subtle, that if you don't know your Bible, I mean really know your Bible, you know, Jesus prophesied that in the last days, even some of the very elect would be deceived. If you don't know your Bible, one of these groups can begin to fill your head with junk. And before you know it, you've messed up. There's a fourth reason that people drop out. And we keep flipping back toward the front of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13 and then Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 13, verse 21 says, "Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended." In Matthew 24, verse 10, "And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." You know, it's so easy to get offended. It's so easy to get offended. I haven't heard Leonard's group sing it, but you remember that old song about 30 years ago? "What a preacher didn't even shake my hand." Anybody but me remember that one? You know, preacher didn't shake my hand. Sunday school teacher didn't ask me to pray, and I'm the best prayer in the class. Choir director didn't give me the solo, and I've got the best voice. I didn't get elected deacon, and I'm a lot more spiritual than some of those guys that did get elected. Somebody said something hurt my feelings. You know, it's so easy to get offended. You know, preachers get offended too. That's the lousiest sermon I've ever heard. Who told you you could preach? Jesus says in the last days, many people are going to be offended. And it's so easy to be offended and drop out. That's why I'm always amazed, and if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Always amazed to read about Paul. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one." And you know, and that's not even really talked about in the book of Acts. Paul says 5 different times the Jews beat him with a whip. And he got 39 lashes, and those whips had 3 prongs on them out on the end, and that had bone and metal and rock and stuff in it, so that whenever it came across your back, it tore and ripped. So if they got 39 stripes, 3 times that's what, 117? And if you multiply that by 5, that's 585 different scars across Paul's back. Can you imagine what he looked like with his shirt off? It would just have been a mass of scars. But did Paul quit? No. Then he says, "3 times I was beaten with rods." I always thought they beat him on his back. But then I found out that isn't the way it was. They put you in a straitjacket type thing, stuck your feet up in the air, and beat your feet with rods till they crushed all the bones in your feet. And a lot of folks never walked another step after that. But if you get one of the maps in the back of your Bible and look where you've got Paul's missionary journeys, he walked thousands of miles. God must have kept healing him. They beat his feet up enough to crush the bones in his feet, and yet he kept walking. Did he quit? Nope. And he goes on to say he was stoned. And they were good at stoning. When they stoned you, you were dead. They drug him out of town, but he just jumped right back up. Went back to town, went back to preaching. How many times he was in prison? It says he was shipwrecked three times. Now, the Bible only talks about one, but he was shipwrecked three times. Now, you think about this, you folks that travel. You go over here to Charlotte and get on an airplane, start somewhere, and it crashes, and you walk away. A few weeks later, you get on another airplane, and you go somewhere, and it crashes, and you walk away. You get on another airplane and go somewhere else, and it crashes, and you walk away. You're going to be a little scary about getting back on another airplane. I mean, how many times going to Houston you going to crash before you decide, I don't believe I'm going back to Houston? But you know, there were places Paul couldn't go without a boat. So he just kept getting right back on shifts and going. He didn't quit. He says a night and a day he was in the deep. That means that somewhere or another, he was treading water or he was clinging to a wreckage of a ship for 24 hours. You think Paul ever thought a few times, Lord, this isn't what I signed up for. I quit. But Paul didn't quit. He kept right on going. And down there in verse 26 where he said, in journeys often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils. That means an extremely dangerous situation. Every time you see that word perils, it means an extremely dangerous situation. How many different extremely dangerous situations Paul put up with? Over and over and over again. But at the end, Paul could write, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. Awesome. Awesome. That's what I want to do. You know, another place Paul said, he had to keep his body under subjection lest he became a, the King James says, castaway. The word means useless. The idea of being no longer useful for the kingdom of God. Paul says, I had to watch myself, but I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I came to the end. We're all in danger. We were joking the other night in Bible study about me coming back when I was 85 preaching homecoming. But then a certain person that's on the pulpit committee said, preacher, you may still be interim at 85. But whether I'm still interim or whether I'm come back at 85 to preach homecoming, will you still be serving the Lord? Will you still be serving the Lord? Will you still be faithful? Now, I know we're a little bit past 12, but let me say a couple other things. Sometimes you can't stay in the same church. Sometimes, you know, you end up moving. You may move for a job. But be like the opening illustration in your Sunday school lesson this morning about a guy who takes a job when everybody was telling him no. Sometimes a person will take a job because it's more money, but they move away from a godly church and they end up messed up. Good examples in the Old Testament. You know, Abraham and Lot. And Abraham says to Lot, we both can't stay here on the same plateau. there's not enough grass for all of our animals. And Lot looked over there and said, oh, there's green grass over here at Sodom. That's where the money is. You know, that's where the green grass is. That's my sheep and goats. They'll get fat over there. But he ended up losing his whole family. He had fat sheep and a messed up family. If God moves you, great. But don't just move for the money. Move because God moves you. Sometimes we have to leave a church, unfortunately, because of heresy. Preacher comes in, he makes friends with a few key leaders, and before you know it, he's preaching heresy. I've told you before of a preacher up in the mountains after I left, one of the biggest churches there, holds his Bible and says, nobody believes this fairy tale anymore. 150 people left and started another church. But a lot didn't. Folks, don't stay where there's heresy. Don't stay where there's immorality that's tolerated and tolerated and tolerated. A preacher friend of mine said he had a pulpit committee from a church. He said, I can't go there because said half the deacons are running around with the wives of the other half of the deacons. You can't tolerate immorality. And unfortunately, this is the tough one, spiritual deadness. You know, you read those letters to the churches in Revelation, and you remember the last one? Where's Jesus? He's out the door. He says he's knocking on the door trying to get somebody to let him in his church. If Jesus isn't in the church, I don't want to be in the church. And sometimes, if it becomes very apparent that the church is spiritually dead and Jesus has picked up his luggage and gone somewhere else, then we have to do the same thing. You don't want to bring your kids up in a dead church. You don't want it to poison your spiritual walk with God in a dead church, personally. But just because we have to move somewhere else doesn't mean we can't still be faithful. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years till the Lord calls us home. What does the scripture say? Be thou faithful unto death and you'll receive what? The crown of life. Folks, we're all in danger. There's no one that's so spiritual that they can't mess up. But we make the choice. You know, I'm the one that makes the choice, what I do on Sundays. And you've heard me say this before, that when I was in my friend in the mountains, we used to joke that when we both retired, we was going to get us a little Methodist churches where we could preach on Sunday morning and didn't have to go back to church till the next Sunday morning. I moved to Oklahoma and went to go into church about seven times a week. And I wasn't preaching. I just enjoy being with God's people, hearing God's word. And you don't have to be in church seven times a week to be spiritual. But folks, be faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what you want to hear. As we have the invitation, if there's some way you need to respond, we invite you to respond. If there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe if you don't even understand all about it, if you'll come, we'll have somebody explain it to you. But did you come as we sing?